And all right, can have our students, our elementary students, get ready to head on out for craft day. They're getting settled out there, and as they're getting settled to do the craft day for our junior church lesson, if we get our Bibles out to Exodus chapter 20, if you don't have a Bible with you, it should be on page 60-61, Exodus 20. That would be great. We're plodding along through our series on our church values. And I've been propping them up here on a banner. Thank you. Each week, if you're like me, sometimes you look at things and you don't even see them anymore. And so my hope is that we would see our values. Our values are on the back of all of our bulletins. They're on a banner each week on the wall there. And so we've just been talking about our values. And today, we're going to talk about a value that's very near and dear to our hearts, Carrie and I's hearts. We were tasked, we took it upon ourselves, quite frankly, to articulate some values when you guys handed us the baton to lead. And we wanted to just do as good of a job as we could of kind of clarifying who we are. We hope that some of these values really emerge from who we are and what we really think is important when it comes to following Jesus, being a family, all that stuff. And so this is kind of flowing right out of our heart. This is stuff that we've emerged in our life together, saying, man, this is really important to us. And so we're arrive at our fourth value. Bob's going to preach on the final one next week, as I'd already mentioned. Our fourth value is limits are a gift. Limits really are a gift. We might not feel like it. When was the last time somebody tried to sell you something and they said, oh, by the way, this has a lot of restrictions on this that I'm about to sell you. When was the last time you went and bought a phone or a cable package and they said, you know, the only time you can use this is between 6 and 8 p.m. It's $50 a month. I mean, you're not going to buy that. Or I'll sell you a phone, but it's not unlimited. You can't talk, text, and stream whenever you want. Limits at times can feel like restrictive. And we want to say yes. Limits are restrictive. Limits, though, are a gift. The first time I remember really feeling the restriction of a limit and really finding myself going, wow, this is actually, I really do actually have limits. It was when I was 21. You're just at that point where you don't think you have limits, right? You can stay up late, abuse your body, and really not pay for it. You can get up the next day and do it again. And then after another decade or two, you go, I can't do that, can I? I can't stay up late and eat badly and not sleep and text all night and wake up the next morning and just go to work and be ready. We actually do have limits. The first time I remember feeling like limits were real was when Carrie and I bought our first house. You probably know where this is going. Seeing that mortgage payment come every month, you go, wow. We just out of college, we would chuckle at each other in college, whether or not our paychecks were in the triple digits. Together, we'd go, wow, look how much money we made. And so we laughed at how we just scraped through college. 2 years being married, we just graduated from Bible college, jumped into ministry, bought our first house, and I just remember feeling like, oh, wow. This is a boundary. This is a limit. And I remember feeling that, not necessarily because we'd bought in the house, but because of what Carrie told me after we set up our budget and got settled into our kind of this new life that we were just starting. And I'm feeling like, wow, you know, we're out of school. We've both been working a job, two jobs. I was working two jobs and doing an internship and blah, blah, blah. So we were just thankful to kind of get into this new season of life, kind of clean out all the 12 different things we were doing and focus on something. And I thought, man, this is a great opportunity for Carrie to work, because I'm looking at the numbers and I'm going, we have like no margin here. We have limits. And we're thinking, so where are you going to work at, babe, as we jump in? And I remember her looking at me and she said, I'm not going to. And I remember kind of going, gulp, like what do you mean? And she said, well, I'm not going to because I really want us to discipline ourselves to live within our limits so that when we start having kiddos and we, you know, add on to our family, we're already ready to do that. And we're not going to have to totally change gears, totally feel like we have to scale back and totally reorient ourselves to, like, I want us to do our best to work within what we've got so that when we get to that next stage, we will already basically be there. And I felt like this. I just felt like there's just no room to give here. I felt restricted. My idea to this problem of we're making this much and we're paying this much was, we need a cushion here. That would be the gift, is a cushion. Where are you going to work so that we can have the cushion? And she said, I'm not going to. And I thought, that's the wrong answer. I'm the husband, and you are telling me. And I want to tell you that I'm so thankful for that conversation, that statement that I had to kind of like deal with and work through. Carrie was bumping me into just a pivotal truth that I was not very good at. I wasn't very good. I didn't see limits in my family, financial limits. We went and played, and I got all the great stuff, and I don't think we had the money for that. And my wife was trained in a much different way. So that was my first experience with limits, and it was a gift to me. It really set us up for a life that when we were able to step into that next season of life, we were ready. We were financially ready. We didn't have like lots of money, but we had our plan. And it was a gift. And I pray if you hear nothing else this morning, this is what comes out today. That limits are a gift. They really are a gift. We all have them. And some of you are feeling them more than you care to when you get up in the morning. You know that limits are real. You know that running isn't an option anymore, even if you really want it to be. It's just not there. That's a limit. Our bodies are limited. If you have an illness, it's a limit. Asthma's a limit. You can't go, well, I have asthma, but I really want to run a marathon. I mean, you may be able to, and yet the asthma's there. It's not like you can go, I just decide that this isn't there. No, that's a real boundary on your life. Asthma's a limit. A knee replacement is a limit. You can choose to decide that that's not, but it will come back and say, no, this is real. This is a boundary. This is a limit. Many of you have more money than you've ever had in your entire life, and yet you know there's a boundary, don't you? You know that there's a limit. You might have a lot of expendable income, and yet in your heart of hearts, you know you don't have all the money that there is. You know that there's a boundary. Some of us feel that limit more than I've used that financial example, but money is a real thing. Finances are a real thing. Your budget, if you have this much and you set a budget, that's actually a self-enforced, that's what Carrie was trying to tell me. We're going to actually self-enforce a restriction here. Your income is a limit. Your budget is a self-enforced limit. Gender's a limit. Do you know that? Gender's a limit. God-given limit. You see where I'm going with this? Limits are the thing that we just, in our brokenness, we're always trying to get out of them. We're always trying to say, how dare you? Who do you think you are, God? I get to decide, this sovereign me who's in charge. I can do whatever I want. I can be whatever I want. And the Lord just says over and over again, actually, you can't. You can't actually be whatever you want. Your personality is a limit. There are certain things that you are equipped for and good at. You have a sweet spot. And for you to step outside of that and be something that you're just not equipped for, that's going to take 10 times the effort if you are actually able to achieve it. You can't be whatever you want. God has actually wired you to function within a sector of gifts and opportunities and limits. And we would do well to go, this is a gift. I shouldn't go stepping outside of this general boundary. This is actually a gift. And in our brokenness, what we typically do when we see a boundary is, what do we do? What do our kids say when you say, don't touch that? And it's almost like the hand just automatically comes up. Oh, you know, it's like, don't go there. And it's, or here's the line. And our job in our brokenness, when we tell our kids, or even when we see a boundary, our job is to say, well, that's there for my good. But in our brokenness, what we try to do is we try to get as close as we can to it without stepping over the top of it. That's what we try to do. We try to have our cake and eat it too. And the whole time, Scripture is trying to remind us that gifts, no matter what our culture's telling us, no matter what anybody's trying to sell us as unlimited, that's the real good thing. Scripture keeps coming back to us and saying, limits are good. They're a gift. And what I pray that I can convince you of this morning is that limits are a gift for two reasons. And the first one is because they're true. Limits are a gift because they tell you the truth. They really do tell you the truth. This is how much money you have. I don't care what you want. This is what you've got. Limits tell you the truth, and they say, this is what you're gifted in. This is who you are. This is what I've made you to be. This is what you're good at. This is not what you're good at. You need to function within these parameters. This is real. Limits are good and a gift because your health and its blessings and its challenges are real. You know, you can't just decide that you don't have a blood sugar issue. You may have one. I don't get to wake up in the morning and go, I don't have asthma. And my physician would say, oh, yes, you do. I've seen your pulmonary results. You have asthma. I go, I don't want asthma. Doesn't matter. Limits are a gift. First of all, just because they're true. They're true. They're a gift because they're true, and they tell us what's true, and they really also tell us what's good. That's why I have us at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. So a lot of times we think of the Exodus and the Ten Commandments and the other 349 commandments attached to it as, God is just so rude, and he's so restrictive, and how dare he tell me who I am, how I'm supposed to live, who does he think he is? And Scripture would say, well, he's God. He has every right, every prerogative to show us the way and to prescribe the limits. What I find fascinating about Exodus 20 is it's really built off one command. It's really built off of the story that we find in the beginning, as Mike Finley and I were talking about. Where are you going to preach from this morning? I said, well, at the beginning. Just open it up and we'll start at the beginning. Actually, that's kind of where we are, even though we're in Exodus 20. You know the one boundary we weren't supposed to cross? You know the one tree we weren't supposed to eat from that Adam and Eve did? It wasn't like God was being rude or mean or even being all that picky about, you know, you can eat from one tree, but all the rest of them you can't eat from. It was quite the opposite. God said in the creation story, as he makes Adam and Eve and he sets them in this beautiful garden, he says, you can eat from any of this. Any of this. I mean, it's just like an open pasture, this open garden, food everywhere. He says, but the one tree, he gives them a choice, doesn't he? He gives them an opportunity to trust him. He puts a boundary, a limit, a restriction in place. But it's just one tree. Just one tree. You can eat from any other tree you want. But there's this one tree, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from that tree, you'll die. I mean, it's a test. It's an opportunity to build trust. It's an opportunity to live by faith. God's not being overly narrow. The pasture is open wide. The fence is sprawling. But there's an opportunity to really believe that God knows what's best. That it's not good to know good and evil. That we're already being like God before we eat from the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of those two things. We're already being that way. We listen to the serpent's lie. And we believe that limits are not for who does God think he is? And so what we're doing in Exodus 20, kind of building off of just that really brief story that outlines the fall in Genesis 3, you and I may have not eaten a piece of forbidden fruit, but we've all done that very thing that Adam and Eve did, and we all would have. by our sins. We basically say to God, who do you think you are restricting me? This limit is not a gift. You're holding me back. You're not telling me everything. And so what we find in expansion of in Exodus 20 is God saying, this is what I want for my people, Israel. This is going to be a defense. This is going to be the boundary with which in you live. And if you live within that, it'll be a circle of blessing. It'll be a good place. It's not a tight fence. It's an open fence. God's just saying, this in my pasture, in this game, these are the rules by which you're going to play. And so I'd like to just read these commandments and try to hear them in that light. Notice Exodus 20, the bottom of page 61, says, God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You'll have no other gods before me. You'll not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath, that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God. And I visit the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Take it lightly. Don't misuse it. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the rest day or the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Keep it separate. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, even the sojourner, the wanderer who's within your gates. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is his neighbor's. We finish this section out. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning, right, because they're at Mount Sinai, they're receiving the law. Moses is up receiving the limits for the people. They were afraid and they trembled and they stood far off and they said to Moses, you speak to us, we'll listen, but don't let God speak lest we die. There was a reverence, right? Moses said to the people, do not fear. God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. And the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. When I read that list, when you read that list, do you hear, man, God is really, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning. What is his problem? I mean, when you read that list, you go, it just seems so narrow. It seems so tight. It just seems so restrictive. It just seems so limited. When we read that list, what we're really hearing from the Lord is this is the fence line. And within this fence is flourishing. People flourish when they live within these boundaries. Communities flourish when they live within these boundaries. Families flourish when they live within these boundaries. This is a circle of blessing. This is the fence, but inside of this fence is life. If we disregard a commandment and say, you know, I know it says not to kill, but I just feel like doing that because that's my prerogative. I mean, then community just quite literally breaks down, right? It just goes away. These aren't meant to harm us. These limits are a gift. And they're a gift because they tell us the truth. This is really the truth. But they're just limits because they tell us what's good. This is the good life in here. If we would just yield to it, this is the good life inside these commandments. So these are a gift. They're meant to be. But the other reason that I think that this and many other passages, when we look at the limits, the boundaries of Scripture, if we could really hear the wisdom of God in Exodus 20 and in many other places, is that these limits don't just exist to tell us what's true and then they're true because they're good. They're really meant to set us free. These boundaries are actually meant to set you free. God is putting a fence up, and it's a big fence. It's not a small fence. It's a big fence. It's saying, inside this fence is hope. Inside this fence is life. Inside this fence is flourishing. Go, run, play, have a good life. This is a well open pasture. This might feel so limited in some ways, but in other respects, this is meant to put the fence up so that we can go, wow, there's the boundaries, but inside that fence is life and flourishing. And that's meant to set us free. The real irony about boundaries, you know, the tighter it gets, the narrower it gets, is it's meant to actually set us free. When Carrie says, I'm not going to work, it's not just because she's, you know, like knifing me for something I said, though she may have been, I don't know. She's not doing that to be mean or to cruel. She's doing that to set us free, isn't she? She's doing that to say, so that when we continue down the road of life together, we won't be bound by the mismanagement of our money. We'll be set free because we're living within our boundaries. We're living within our limits. One wife is a boundary. And that's not meant to go, just one, Lord? Could you really handle two, guys? No. But it's a boundary that isn't meant to go, just one. It's a boundary to set you free. So you can explore just the intricacies, the depth, the intimacy of one person, just one. And you can only handle the depth of one person in that intensity, that respect. So God's not just saying, I'm just trying to be mean here because I'm God. He's saying, I'm narrowing this down so tight to one so that you can be set free by the joys of spending your entire life with this one person and just plumbing the depths of intimacy and grace and really seeing how broken you really are and how much you can be loved in the midst of that by your spouse and reciprocate that forgiveness and that grace, that picture of God's love for us. That's a restriction, but it's meant to set us free to enjoy the depth and the intimacy and the mystery of being human. It's a boundary, and it's meant to set you free. Mike Thorne told me a story about kids at an elementary school right by a pretty thorough-growing road in front of the school, and there was a playground. It was pretty close to the road, and all the kids had come out to recess, and they were kind of nervous about going out to play because, I mean, the cars are just whizzing by on the road, right? It's just, I don't want to go out there. And, I mean, I can't imagine, as a parent, you know. You know what it took for those kids to go out and run and play and be free? It took a fence. The moment that fence went up, you know what the kids were doing? They were running and playing, flourishing and having fun. They weren't doing that because it was dangerous without the limit. It was dangerous without the boundary. But once the boundary went up, they went out and they had fun. And they played because they felt safe, because they were safe. That boundary was meant to function as a boundary, a limit, a restriction, but not to just be mean, but to set the kids free to play and to have fun. I forgot to bring up my booklet. My kids, did the kids take it to junior church? Can you hand me that red book, babe? Thank you. I jotted some notes just thinking through this. When we find ourselves being coming up to a boundary, coming up to a limit, if you're like me, you find yourself going, how do I get through this? You know, this is holding me back. I'm missing something. This isn't letting me be everything that I could be. And I don't hear the wisdom of Scripture that says limits are a gift because they tell you the truth. They're a gift because they set you free. I feel like there's a corresponding lie, maybe, that we're listening to when we're trying to push through a boundary that's just there for our own good. I've always already alluded to one: staying up late, eating badly, not caring for our body. It's just we're hearing a lie somewhere that's saying, you know, you're really, you can do whatever you want, you can have whatever you want, you can push as hard as you want, and you're not going to pay for it. There's a lie behind that we're believing, behind every limit we're trying to break. There's some extreme ones, you know, when we cheat on our spouse. What's the lie? When there's a limit we're trying to break, that we want to break, or that we're going to break, what's the lie we're believing? And the lie is what? Well, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So with every limit that we've broken, there's a lie that we've believed. Maybe when we're people-pleasing and we're trying to be whoever we want to be or feel like we should be to have people like us, maybe the lie we're believing is people won't just like you for being you. You know, you're jumping outside of the boundaries of just who you are, who God made you to be. And so you're trying to be something for everybody, and the lie you're believing is people just won't like me if I'm just me. I've certainly already alluded to money and you know, when we how we manage that, you know, the lie is that maybe that doesn't matter or it'll come from somewhere and it'll get taken care of, and that very well may be the case. But I just feel like with every boundary, with every limit that we want to break or that we have broken, there's usually, at least in my life, there's been a lie that we've believed. I mean, isn't that just the story of the Bible? There's a liar, and he's lying to you. Whenever you are being tempted to break a limit that's real, it's a real limit, and it's there because it's trying to tell you the truth, and it's trying to set you free. What we need to do when we find ourselves being sort of brought to that point is we need to ask ourselves, and we need to maybe bring somebody alongside us and say, hey, I'm just feeling like I want to do this, but I know I shouldn't, but I just want to. What we need to do is say, what's the lie I'm being told? What's the lie that I'm being told? Adam and Eve, it was, you won't die. You'll be, God's holding out on you. He's holding back. He's holding you back. So with every boundary we've broken, I think that there's a lie that we're believing. As parents, I know there's parents, a lot of grandparents in the room. When I think about limits, this is actually very freeing to me as a dad. When I think about limits, as we're, you know, raising our family and looking at our kids, you know, when you look at your kids and your grandkids, you can see their gifts, can't you? You can see the things that they're just good at. You can see the things you go, yeah, that's just not in there. You know, math, we're going to get through that. We're going to pass that. But like, we're not going to try to train you up to be a mathematician, right? You can look at your kids and your grandkids and you can say, man, you are good at that, and you're not so good at that. So to me, that's terribly freeing, because rather than trying to get the kid or your grandkid just like good at everything, what that tells me is you can say, you actually have some really important limits placed on you in a good way. These are things that you flourish in. These are things that you're good in. These are not things that you should be pursuing. We need to get you through these things, but what you need to be really concentrating as you grow in life and figure out what you want to do and what you're good at, you need to kind of look at this sector of your personality. You need to look at who you are in this area of your life, and you need to pursue those kinds of things. And you might say, oh, that sounds so narrow. That sounds so freeing to me. I wish family would have told me that. You know, you're so, this is where you need to be thinking. This is where you need to be camping out and pursuing. I've likened it maybe to, this is the deck you've been dealt. We've all been given a deck, haven't we? And you received a deck of cards that you're playing right now, and you received it from your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. And so we all have a personality. We all have gifts. We all have struggles. We all have things that we just inherited. We were all given a deck to play, and we're playing it. And rather than saying, you can be anything you want, what we need to help our kids and our grandkids and our family members say is, this is what's in your deck. This is who you are. This is what you're good at. This is what you need to focus on. This will help you flourish. When I think about time management, some of us, a lot of us, you know that time is, you've got very, some of you have a lot of time. Some of you have never had more time in your life. And some of you are acutely aware of, you only have so much time to manage, like to take care of and to wield well. And so with limits, what that tells me is rather than trying to balance your life and give equally to everything, that's kind of the mantra in our culture, is you need to live a balanced life. But if you live a life that's really encouraged with limits, you're not trying to live a balanced life. You're trying to live a focused life. You're trying to say, this is how much money I have. This is how much time I have. And so rather than just trying to spread it all out equally, I need to figure out where I'm giving the most, the treasure, the real important stuff. I'm going to give the most to these people and these relationships, and then I'm going to go from there because I only have so much. I can't give equally to everybody. I got to really wisely partition this off because limits are real. You only have so much time, and you only have so much money. And so we would do well, wouldn't we? We would do really, really well. Rather than when we look at limits, we'd go, oh, those are just so mean and restrictive and narrow, and what God is trying to tell us in so many different places in Scripture is he's trying to say these are a gift because they're real. They're real. And they're there to set us free. What Carrie and I really pray just over the years as a family, as a church family, is the more that we consider this and think about this and, you know, cast vision in a couple weeks at our Vision Sunday, and is that this, among all of our values, like the rest of them, we say, this is important to us. This is what we've got. This is who God's bringing us. This is the gift set and the talents and the passions we have as a church, and this is who, rather than trying to be like every other church, who are we? Who has God brought to us in good ways? And what are our, we have limits. We can't go outside of them. If we do, it'll be to our peril. And so we say, limits. Limits are a gift. Limits are a gift. And my prayer for us this week is that we reflect on what are your limits? Because we all have different boundaries. We all have different things that aren't necessarily moral, that are binding to all of us as God's people, like the Ten Commandments and the other ones that point us in the direction for God's desire for our life. But what are the limits that you're in your life where you're sitting, you're going, man, when I go outside of this boundary, I feel it. Like it really reminds me that this is true. This is here for my good. And I would do well to step back inside. What are the limits that you and your family, season of life that you're in, you know, based on where your kids are at in school, where your grandkids are at in life, what are the things that are actually hemming you in that when you go, oh, I just wish that wasn't there. Maybe this week we could go, this limit, whether I like it or not, is here for my good. And I would do well to trust that it's a gift. It's here to tell me the truth. And it's here to set me free. That's what I pray we'd focus on this week. So let's pray together. God, we are so thankful that in our brokenness and in our sinfulness, we see a boundary, and a lot of times we just want to step over the top of it. We want to push through a boundary that's just there. And that is maybe one of the definitions of our fallenness, is we see a boundary that you've put in place and we just push through it because we don't trust you. And so that we see you, Jesus, placing yourself under our limits, becoming human. We see you placing yourself under the condemnation for going outside of the boundary. You are the one who would be willing to be punished for us breaking the limits and then receiving a reward that we don't deserve. So I pray that you'd continue to transform our hearts so that rather than going, wow, I'm free now, I can do whatever we want, that we would run back into the fence gladly, and we would know that the boundaries you've put in place are for our flourishing, and we would trust that the limits you've put over all of us and the limits that we all know that we have just as a family with our own kids, within our own finances, with our own time, that those limits are there to not be mean. They're there to tell us the truth. And they're there to set us free. God, help press that into our hearts this week. We love you, God, and we're so thankful that you know what's best. It's in your name. Amen.